Our first scripture lesson is found in the book of Psalms, Psalm 139, verses 1 through 6 and 13 through 18. Listen now for God's word to you in this reading of scripture. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways, even before a word is on my tongue. O Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high that I cannot attain it. For it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works that I know very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes beheld my uniform substance. In your book were written all the days that were formed for me, when none of them was as yet existed. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us. Thanks be to God. Today for the sermon will be from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 35 through 51. Hear now God's word to you. The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples. And as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated, anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated, Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and all the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said to him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." The word in creation, the word in scripture, the word within us. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, I ask that you fill my heart and my mind with the words you would have me say. Let the words that come out of my mouth be acceptable to you and fill the hearts of those that hear, that they might truly be prepared to go into the world and be your disciples. In Jesus we pray. Amen. We've entered into the ordinary time of the year. We've come through that busy season of Advent and Christmas, and last week we had Epiphany. And it's an interesting day because that's a day that celebrates both the wise men and Jesus' baptism. This year we emphasize the wise men, but It was also the baptism, which means we went from 2 years old to 30 years old in one day. But now we've come to the time when Jesus is a man, and he's beginning his ministry. He's begun to preach, and it's time for him to call his first disciples. Now, when I was reading this particular call story in John, I was a little surprised because I didn't remember this version. I'd say probably for most of you like me, the call story that you're more familiar with is Andrew and Peter out on the boat, James and John out on the boat fishing. And Jesus comes along and he calls them in and he said, "Come, follow me and I will make you fishers of men." But that's not what happens in this story. Jesus is out preaching and suddenly John sees him. Now, John the Baptist was, as we know, sent to proclaim Jesus. And two of his followers, he said to them, "See, there is the Lamb of God." And they went over to talk to Jesus. Now, I don't know if you picked up in the scripture, but one of those was Andrew. Yes, Andrew, the brother of Simon, to be known as Peter. Suddenly, Jesus isn't finding them out on a boat. Andrew is finding Jesus, and he says, "Where are you going to be at so that I can come hear more from you?" And Jesus says, "Come and see." And Andrew does. And Andrew goes and gets Peter and brings Peter. Jesus doesn't find the two of them. Andrew and then Peter find Jesus. Now, these are one of those stories that can make people question, well, if that's different in Scripture, is Scripture really real? Can we trust any of it? But this was a gospel that was written very later, and John is a very different gospel. If you compare it, Matthew, Mark, and Luke are what is known as the synoptic gospels, and their stories are very similar. That calling of the original disciples is almost identical in the three. But John has a very different audience. And John has a very different purpose. And so he crafts words that, yes, still has Jesus calling people, but in a different way. Does it matter? No, I don't think so. I think what's important is the message that Jesus is calling people and helping them to understand that he has an important message, but it's also important that they become part of that ministry. Jesus knows, I think, probably fairly early, that because he was preaching such a radical gospel, his time would be short. And he wanted to make sure that whatever happened to him, the message, the important message that God had sent him to deliver, would continue. And so Jesus continues to say, "Come and see. Hear the words that I have to say. Understand what God wants you to do and how you want this world to be." "Come and see" appears several times in this scripture. It's words of call. And I think it's an important message to us as we hear these words of "come and see," that part of this is a message to you and I also. Do you know that statistics show that for people to come to church, very few come because they've heard of the pastor. Most come because people have said to them, "Come and see. Come and see what my church is about. Come and hear the message. Come and see what you're missing out on." That's what happened here. Jesus talked to Andrew, and they think probably the second person was John, as in John that wrote this, was attributed with this book. They don't know for certain because he's never named. But Andrew then went to Peter and brought him. Then Jesus saw Philip, and Jesus said to Philip, "Come with me, we're going on to the next town." And Philip went to Nathanael. Now, Nathanael is not listed as one of the disciples that followed Jesus, but they think probably Nathanael was Bartholomew. Nathanael, the first name, Bartholomew, which is son of Bartimaeus. But that's how it works. You know, there's a lot going on in this church that's good. We've got yesterday, Fran talked about it with Emily. We were down at Pine Alice Hope yesterday. We served 144 breakfasts. And yes, that takes people. That takes money. And this church is doing that. And it's things like that that can say to people, look, come and see what we're doing. We are working to serve God and the world. We are working to make a difference. This church is small. You, a lot of you that have been here a long time remember it when it was 1,400 members, and it's been a long time since it was that. But it's still doing so much. The spirit of this church is here. But you know what? We could do more if there were more people here. If more of us said to those we see, come and see. You know, in the other call stories, when they say to Jesus, where are you at so we can come? Jesus was heard to say, the birds of the air have no place to, no nest, have a nest, and the foxes have a den, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. He didn't put that in this one. I think that part of the story with the three synoptic gospels says to the disciples that he's calling, I want you to come, but it's not going to be easy. Matter of fact, it's going to be tough. You didn't get that in John because John has another emphasis. But I think it's important that we understand that our life as disciples, yes, disciples 2,000 years after the story was told, is not always easy. There might be people that make fun of you because of what you believe. Sometimes we just get tired trying to do what we feel called to do. Sometimes people harass us. I want to tell you a story about some disciples that have been harassed lately because they feel called to follow Jesus. We got a message, Don and I are on a text group with other female pastors in the area because there are specific challenges for being a female pastor. And two of them told us stories of things that happened to them within just the last couple weeks. We got one from Chapel by the Sea. Rhonda told us last week in church, there were two men that came in. And they were sitting at the back of the church and they were screaming out to her about the fact women shouldn't preach. And they were going on and on to the point that finally the police had to be called. Another pastor, Ann, down at St. Paul's Lutheran, just down the street from us, on Christmas Eve, had a man come in, a stranger, and he starts hollering out to her that she's a Nazi. This is the kind of thing that happened to Jesus. Jesus was challenged at every step of the way in his ministry. It was never easy. The Sadducees, the Pharisees, all of those challenged him. And from the very beginning, he knew that they were out to get him. His message was not an easy message. God doesn't call us to be wealthy. God doesn't call us to have power. God calls us to reach out to those around us and make a difference in their lives, to feed the hungry, to clothe the poor, to visit the prisoners, to do everything we can to make a difference in the world. God told us what God wants this kingdom to be like, a kingdom of peace and love and harmony. But it can't happen without us. Don often uses the quote that God has no hands but our hands, no feet but our feet, no mouth but ours. We are called just as Simon and Andrew and Nathaniel and Philip and all the other disciples of long ago. We too are called to be God's followers. Have you heard that call? How can you make a difference in the world? No matter what our physical ability is, all of us can say, come and see. Some of us may have reached the point where we can no longer do the physical activities that this church does, but we can make a difference. We can write a letter. We can make a phone call. We can talk to our neighbors. God wants us. God has called us, each and every one of us, to be his people in the world. I invite you, come and see. Now, as we prepare to leave following the postlude, I remind you that fellowship is set up in Fellowship Hall, and we would love to have you join us. And I remind the elders to please gather in 116 for the for Inquirer Sunday. And now may the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ challenge us, encourage us, and lead us to reach out and say, come and see. May the blessings of God the Father, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ the Son be with each of you now and forever. Amen.